On episode 370 of the YLP podcast, it is the go home episode before next week's 5-year anniversary show. This Tuesday will mark 5 years yours truly has been in the Solar Podcaster game, and I can't think of a better way than to begin the celebration, if you will, than by providing all the news that's fit for me to talk about. And what do we have on this week's docket? Well, I had the wonderful pleasure of bringing that to you. Top stories, all the good things, you know how we get down. But Fightful.com has reported, according to Seth Rollins, it rubbed him the wrong way when NXT talent didn't want to join the main roster. Now, this is not a slight, this is not a dig. I actually read a bit of the article prior to actually talking about it in this week's episode, and I think the way he explains it will make a lot of sense once it's put out loud. Trinity Fatu finally speaks on what had happened on her WWE exit, saying, quote, "Nobody understands the magnitude of what happened. I will try my very best to explain it." Both of those articles will be in the mid-card segment of today's episode, but our main event article, of course, I don't know if you've heard about this, but if you have, tell a friend about it. Warner Brothers Discovery pitching an expanded AEW pay-per-view schedule. Now, we all know they actually have an actual proper Big Four, which would be, if my mind serves me right, which would be Revolution, Double or Nothing, All Out, and Full Gear, in that order. But since the merger, of course, with AEW and Warner Brothers Discovery, it seems as if, possibly, there will be more pay-per-views to its schedule in the future. We'll discuss all of that and more, because, ladies and gentlemen, it is the go-home show before the 5-year anniversary show. And my apologies for not promoting it as much as I have. I kind of wanted to keep it a little quiet. That's usually what I do until I actually think of a post to put on Instagram for it. But nonetheless, this is episode 370 of the YLP podcast. Let's hit that intro. Let's get it started. And with that being said, let us begin.
What's going on, you guys? This is Nate the Epping Great from the Brace for Impact podcast, and you are listening to Wrestle Addict Radio, the cure for the common wrestling podcast.
What's going on, guys? Zach from the Wrestling Delicious Podcast here, and welcome to episode 370 of the YLP Podcast. So glad to have you guys here with me on this fine Saturday, and I hope you're enjoying your day, your night, your afternoon, and your evening, wherever you may be, wherever you are in the world. Thank you guys so much for taking out this episode of the podcast, and as always, I greatly and truly appreciate it. Before we get into the festivities and all the good stuff, let me make sure I get my particulars out of the way, because I will forget, and I am liable to forget like a motherfucker. So, if you have any questions, comments, concerns, or opinions about today's episode or any of the other 369 nice episodes of the YLP podcast, do not hesitate to hit your boy up with a nice little voice message over on podcasters.spotify.com/youngLionsPerspective, podcasters.spotify.com/WrestleAddictRadio, and over on AmbiguousPodcastSolutions.com. Shout out to Will Tereshook, the founder, the owner, the everything that is APS. And of course, every Wrestle Addict Radio podcast is over on AmbiguousPodcastSolutions.com. So make sure you go over there and check that joint out, because I said so. Anywho, also, if you have any comments you want to bring to the episode, hit me up with an email over at younglionsperspective, all one word, at gmail.com. Okay? I believe that's all the particulars I have at this very moment, so we're just going to run with the show. Anywho, it is Saturday, July 15th, 2023. Hope you guys had a good week. Hope you guys enjoyed the week that was pro wrestling. If you had an all right week, hey, we got the weekend to come back with, get ourselves right, and get ready for the week that comes ahead. And mind you, I am quite excited about the week that's coming ahead. Why? Next Saturday, I'm going to get this out there right now, and I'll, of course, talk about a little bit more, expand on it a little bit more at the end of today's episode. Next week will be, well, technically Tuesday, but next week, well, let me provide some clarity. Sunday, tomorrow, will technically be my 5-year anniversary that I made the decision to become a solo podcaster. 2 days after that, on July 18th, will technically be the 5-year anniversary that yours truly had his first episode. Now, I may have talked about this in last year's anniversary episode and all that good stuff, but we actually listened back to the first episode I ever did, and God, that quality was so awful. But anyway, July 18th to me is the unequivocal, unadulterated, official, legitimate first episode of the YLP podcast. 5 years later, next Saturday, we will celebrate the 5-year anniversary show in as best fashion as we possibly can. What I will do, I don't know. Will it just be strictly news? I don't know. But hey, you know, if you do want to send some good love my way, all the good things, all the happiness in the world, hey, voice messages, all that good stuff, I don't ask for much. If you don't, it's fine. A listen will do just as much for me as it will for, you know, sending me a shout out or something like that. But yes, the next week's episode is the 5-year anniversary show, one that I usually do every year, whether it falls on the 18th of July or not. Usually the Saturday passing, we usually is that 5-year anniversary show. So keep a lookout for that. I will do a little bit of a promotion probably this coming week. So if you're following me on Instagram over at @young_lions_perspective or on Twitter @YLperspective, I will have all that in there. I'll do some cryptic shit, make it look cool. We'll figure it out. But yes, the 5-year anniversary show, I'm going to be Booker T for an entire year. I'm going to be doing five time anniversary show next week. So keep an eye on that. And it is going to be fun. I'm very excited for that. 5 years in the game. I mean, 5 years doing anything is a testament of itself. 5 years doing podcasting about professional wrestling, that's a whole animal in and of itself. I mean, for my day ones out there who still listen to me and rock with me, y'all know I was pulling 3 shows a week just to get my name out there. We'll go through the whole history, of course, next week. But, you know, 5 years is a long time. But 5 years for me means a little bit different, you know. A little bit of that V. Stop it. You're in the gutter. But yes, I just want to make sure y'all knew that going into this week's episode and next week's episode. 371 episodes, 5 years in the game. We're going to have a good time with it. And I hope you join me as we enter our 5th year into the podcasting game. Nonetheless, though, we still got some work. We got some things to do before we get to the party. We got to do the work beforehand. Okay. And let us dive right into the news of the week, the show that discusses all the news that's fit for me to talk about. And we've got some news to talk about. So let's kick off the opening contest segment of the show with a little, just, you know, some quick news. Nothing too crazy, a little bit of quick news. But I wanted to start off with this article. This article kind of like piqued my interest a little bit. Disco Inferno. Glenn Gilberti, for those of you who watch TNA. And shout out one time to Nate the Effing Great. Still our current reigning and defending. The blessed man that is the MCW heavyweight champion of the world. I could still say it for at least another week, as far as I know. I have been told, I have been given the permission to say at least for another week. He is still our current reigning and defending MCW heavyweight champion, the banana man himself, Nate the Effing Great. Anyway, Brace for a Bit podcast every Tuesday. Check that out. I'll talk about it in the next segment. Disco Inferno and what is driving fans away from wrestling. This is from Ross W. Berman IV. Strong. Some things in life are constant. Death, taxes, and Disco Inferno having complaints about the modern era. That was probably the most like real ass sentence I may have ever read in the last like 5 months. Just saying, quote, if you want to draw fans, I think you're doing enough stuff in the work today to drive fans away, Inferno said on Keeping It 100 recently. The reason, because people cringe at the WWE product, because there was so much cringy stuff, and people stopped watching. I'm just saying that enough stuff in the wrestling today is causing people to stop watching. Inferno went on to say that many of the habits of younger wrestlers are becoming as cringy as WWE sketches, saying, quote, I think it's the thigh slapping, the Japanese forearm spot, and the fact that everyone and their mother does dives now and stands there to catch, the former WCW Cruiserweight champion said. Disco called wrestling a copycat business, where people are copying things that worked in other matches. His biggest issue is not only the overuse of the super kick, but the act of slapping one's thigh when doing it. He went on to explain how innovator Shawn Michaels would build up to a super kick, so as best to hide the thigh slap, then most importantly would get the pinfall victory from said super kick. Saying, quote, when you're doing the thigh slap and you're simulating the sound of you cracking a guy's jaw and the guy didn't even sell, it's fucking stupid. Inferno said, going on to lambast wrestlers that slap their thigh even when not connecting with an opponent's jaw, adding a layer of artifice to the moves. Now, I don't know why I'm intrigued to check out the comments of this article. I'm just intrigued and compelled to see if I can find. I want to see if I can find it, honestly. If they let me. If they let me. I doubt it. If they let me. Let me see. Okay. Let me see if I can find anything. Oh, it's loading. But there's a lot of things that could be driving fans away from pro wrestling if we're being really honest with ourselves and each other. I mean, booking. For me, what drives a fan away from wrestling? Booking usually is one thing that will drive a fan away completely, immediately. That's usually the biggest one. If the booking is kind of garbage, more often than not, I'm just going to be like, no. But let me see what some of the people in the article are saying, you know, comments-wise. Let's see. I'm not going to say names or anything. I'm just going to give you comments. Disco Inferno was 1,000% correct. I've been watching wrestling since 1984. Wrestling today is a shell of those glory days because today's generation has bastardized all of it. They've ruined a once magical formula, and now almost everything is ridiculously overkill and careless. Less used to be more in pro wrestling. Disco has every right to speak on this and is infinitely more qualified than those dismissing him. See, Disco and guys like Jim Cornette don't want to devolve the sport, but that's not possible or even smart. If you don't like what you see, don't complain. Just stop watching and or find something you like. Usually the most common casual complaint. Well, we're going to keep you moving. I'm sorry, but a former wrestler complaining about today's product is akin to old man yelling at cloud. No matter what, Disco will never be known as a big star and is ever taken seriously. And this is further proof of that. The thing that's wrong about wrestling today is old-timers like Disco and Cornette complaining about today's product and spreading their toxic hate on their fan base only to have them spread it even more. Sheesh. Here's what I will say. Is Disco Inferno wrong in what he said? No. There's a lot of things, like I said before, there's a lot of things that will drive a fan away from wrestling. For me, it's usually booking, the matches themselves. It's rare that I see, like there's one particular move that will just, like, kind of turn me off. There will be some moves that I'll be like, holy shit, that just happened. But if the booking and the matches and themselves, if the creative is not good, then I will complain. More often than not, it's usually booking and creative. Like the matches themselves, pretty much. But the thing with me is that, yeah, the thigh slapping's a thing, you know. If they can hide it better, they would. If they can't, so be it. The Japanese forearm spot, I'm not exactly sure what he's talking about. To be brutally honest with you, I'm not exactly sure. I'm not going to act like I do. Oh, wait. We're talking about that? Just beating I believe Minoru Suzuki would be someone that you would not want to talk to in a conversation if you want to have some forearm spots. Murder Grandpa, don't play that. But the thing with me is, I understand where he's coming from. As you, so for some of you that may not know, for you guys who are new to the podcast, A, welcome to the YLP realm. We have juice, cookies, coffee, tea, and donuts, and all that good stuff. And I hope you guys enjoy your stay for the time being. But I am a big fan of nostalgia. I kind of go about the way the Triple H goes about it, pretty much in a sense, when his booking. Nostalgia mixed in with the modernized form of wrestling as it stands today. You can give me out an Attitude Era, but modernize it. Make it palatable for 2023. Make it palatable for the people that are watching now. You can still have that. You can still have the whole... You can still have the good shit. You can still have the meat-slapping majesty. And make sure you go get that merch over at over our WrestleLadic Radio Spring store. Just make sure you check that out. I believe it's still there. Meat-slapping majesty t-shirts. Get that shit right now. But still... I can get the fact that, you know, where he's coming from, he's old school. You know, Mans was, you know, 98 running shit. But the way it is now, a lot of people I can understand, you know, the thigh slaps, guys not selling some of it. And that's kind of the bit, you know, that's the kind of the bit that kind of messes with me a little bit. If you're going to sell a super kick, sell a fucking super kick. Act as if you got rocked with that shit. If anything, to be brutally honest, and I'm not a wrestler. For those of you who may not know, I've said this plenty of times. I will never get in that ring. And I respect those that do for my entertainment. That's why I don't really shit on wrestlers all the time. Depending on, now, if they're saying something really goofy, then yeah, I'll you know, put my two cents on that. But I'll call it a day on that. I'm trying to be better not to judge people. Because that is not my, like, as a podcaster, I got to toe that line, you know. Try not to judge, but still being able to kind of criticize the form if it needs criticizing. You feel me? But what I will say is that there are some things in professional wrestling that a lot of people will not like, and there's some things that people do like. It goes by preference, honestly. I love strong style wrestling more than I like the WWE style of wrestling. Why? Because I think it gives a bit of a more realistic feel to the matchup itself. Now, there's people end up within WWE who can do that strong style. And honestly, styles make fights. If they say it in boxing and UFC, it kind of works the same way in WWE, does it not? AEW, Impact, NJPW. But for me, I don't want to feel as if I'm kind of getting dicked over, you know what I'm saying? I don't want to feel as if, like, I'm basically, I don't know, not really feeling the matchup itself. I mean, is there cringy stuff? Yes. Is there always going to be cringy stuff? Yes. All right. So, I mean, I think to me at the end of the day, is it a copycat business? Yeah. There's always going to be, you know, people criticizing, you know, another company for doing a gimmick or a storyline that's been done before. Here's the fucked up part. Pro wrestling is basically like that. People compare talent to talent of yesteryear. He's the next Shawn Michaels. He's the next Undertaker. Well, there will never be another Undertaker. Let's get that out of the way right now. It's a copycat business, just like the NFL is a copycat league. When the Wildcat was a thing, you know, back in the day with Miami, everybody tried to do the Wildcat. And once the Wildcat was figured out, they stopped doing it. Is it still there? Yeah. Is it as prevalent? No. The only reason the Wildcat worked is because no one had any tape on it. Once we had tape on it, we figured it out. Jeremy Lin, Lin Sanity, same shit. Once you figured Lin Sanity out, and once Miami pretty much kicked his ass, Lin Sanity died. So, do I think the thigh slapping, the Japanese forearm spot, is going to, you know, drive fans away? Some, if they're not feeling it. But I think for me personally, if your creative sucks, that will drive a fan away a lot more than a thigh slap. Just going to throw that out there. Let me know what y'all think, though. If you have any questions, comments, concerns, again, leave me a voice message. Let me know what you're thinking about all these articles today. But we will move on. And we will head over to, where am I at right now? WrestlingNews.co. And some good news, actually. I know a lot of people love them some Jim Ross. I love me good old JR. He was my childhood.
Why? God damn it, why? That will never go away. Tell me why. Anywho, from WrestlingNews.co, Jim Ross says his health has improved but still dealing with sciatic issues. Hopes to return for AEW All In. This is from Michael Schrute. As far as I know, no relation to Dwight, but hey, you never know. It'd be like that sometimes. WWE Hall of Famer Jim Ross gave an update on his health on the latest Grilling JR podcast. Ross has been given time off to heal up after suffering a fall last month, and he stated he would like to return soon and is hoping to be back at All In. Saying, quote, "I had a rough week on my leg. I'm not changing doctors. I'm just adding to doctors. I'm adding to doctors. It's amazing. I went to my wound doctor. He said, I got to get you to a specialist that can give you an antibiotic shot. I said, why can't you do it? That's not what I do. It's been a challenging week, let's say. I think we've made some improvement. We've got a good game plan, but I need a break. I need a break in the action, so to speak, and move on. I like that. That was nice. It'll happen. I mean, I got good doctors, good care, and if I don't get the results we're looking for, I'll go to the Mayo Clinic and start over and see where it takes us. I'm okay. It's going to be all right. It's just frustrating as heck to have to deal with this every day. My sciatic, which is, I didn't realize how crippling that is. Man, my sciatic has just been driving me crazy. Where there's like 3 days that I had a hard time even walking to the bathroom. So it's not been good the last week or two, but I see improvement. I see a direction, and I have hope that it's going to be fine. So that's where we are, you know? It's just one of those deals. He goes on to say, quote, I don't have any timetable on returning to work. I got to get better. I can't start traveling again. They're worried about infection, and being on an airplane or an airport with an open wound is not ideal, to say the least. It'll work out. I'm positive. I'm optimistic. And I want to get back to work. I want to get back at the booth doing something. I don't know if I'm going back on Collision. My debut on Collision was not very auspicious because of my voice, which I still don't get. It's interesting. The doctor said he thought it might be because I'm stressed why I'm losing my voice. I said that's a weird analogy. The stress being because of my illness. I got a lot to be thankful for, and it's all going to be good. You just got to make it good, man. And of course, if I use any portion of the quotes from this article, of course, please credit adfreeshows.com. /T, all that stuff, so I don't get sued. Anyway, it's good to see that JR is actually on the healing bit. He's on the mend. Would I love to see him at All In on August 27th, I believe, if I remember correctly. Yeah, absolutely. JR is my guy. JR is like one of my favorite commentators of all time. Michael Cole's actually kind of creeping up there now. Now that they actually given him taking the shackles off, dude, and actually let him be him. I'm not saying Michael Cole is him, but you get the point. What I will say, though, is the simple fact that, guys like JR, getting older. I mean, we've seen a lot lately, with Virgil, I believe Mantar, just passed away. And, my condolences go out to him and his family for that, for sure. But, we're starting to see the old guard kind of get older and hurting more and all that stuff. And, it's never a fun thing. But hopefully, though, we see him on the mend and we see him back by All In. That would be a great thing. I mean, sciatic is a big fucking deal. My mom actually goes through that. My mom has pain in her sciatic nerve. So I've seen, the pain she does go through when her sciatic nerve actually shows up and with the pain and all that stuff. And there's not much you can do with that. You got to get a shot, all that good stuff. And, unfortunately, I have to deal with that. It sucks. So I've seen it in action. But for JR to actually say, to let us know, I'm on the mend. I'm not traveling right now, but I hope to be back by All In. If he is back by All In, we know that, hearing that Oklahoma University theme song will be quite a nice sound to hear, and seeing JR will be a sight to see. Given the fact that it's going to be in fucking London, I can understand, traveling with an open wound is not the best of ideas. So I can totally get that. But I mean, he's got about a month. He's got at least a month, because it's 27th. Yeah, he's got about like a month and a half to kind of get himself right. So he's good. I will personally say he makes it to All In. I think he is ready for All In. If not, and we find out about it, I will let you guys know. But at least on my end, I'm hoping he's getting better. I'm hoping he's, feeling better. He's taking care of himself, doing all the right things. And we don't have to have a start-stop process. And we get to see him at All In London. I'm telling you, I think you need JR at London. You can have Excalibur in them, but you need JR in London. Because I think the pop for JR will be astronomical, and I think he deserves that more than anybody. He's one of the few people I would say he is guaranteed a great pop. John Cena, kind of, but no, I would love to see, you know, JR on the call in London doing his thing, and the world is much safer because of it. So we'll see what happens, and we'll see if there's any news that I find that may, you know, give us a better indication of him actually showing up in London. I will let you guys know as much as I can. Y'all know how I get down. But we shall move over to our last article of the opening contest segment for episode 370 of the YLP podcast. Hopefully you guys have settled in with a nice drink, nice beverage, and a few snacks to hold you over. If you're in the car, I'm trying my very best to make sure your kid, hopefully you don't got kids in the backseat, because I do say some very interesting words. That's why we market explicit around here. Anywho, let's head over to WrestleZone.com. And AEW has apparently sent a list of banned moves to talent, including moves that need prior approval. This is from Matt Black. New protocols have been put in place to protect talent and staff in AEW. As AEW continues to grow and expand, so does its rulebook in order to protect the talents and the fans attending the shows. According to Fightful's Sean Ross Sapp, via Fightful Select, of course, a new document has been sent out by AEW that states, quote, "While there is always a risk in pro wrestling, they wanted to minimize the risk without compromising the quality of the talent's performances and the ability to be creative," end quote. The following moves and actions have been banned in AEW. And the first one should obviously be the most obvious one. Sean Spears looking at you, my guy. Unprotected chair shots to the head. That's kind of, you know, obvious. Moving on, shots to the back of the head. Understandable, you know, because, I mean, not even going like pro wrestling. I've seen people in the UFC who have been rocked in the back of the head and have tried to continue and could not because of the fact that they got rocked in the back of the head. Can't really do that. Buckle bombs. Seth Rollins would like to have a word. Blind moves backward into the turnbuckle. Okay, that makes sense, I guess. Yeah, that works out. Fencing responses, which is an unnatural position of arms following a concussion. Yeah, let's make sure we do that. Seizure cells. That makes sense. I get that. Spitting. Especially, well, I mean, people who, yeah. Bleeding in the crowd. Weapons or projectiles in the crowd. MJF, don't drink tequila and dump it on children. Okay. Taking drinks or food from guests in the crowd. Yeah, they saw that MJF drawing and they were just like, yeah, we're not, no, that's banned. Nah, physical contact with the crowd. Now, here's the thing. Now, this one confuses me a little bit. Now, if we're talking physical contact, are we talking physical contact like high fives and, you know, kind of being rah-rah with the fans? Or we're talking about like you hitting somebody by, you know, you hitting somebody. Just saying. But that's the moves and actions. Now, there will also be moves and weapon spots that need to be approved ahead of time. However, these actions must be approved by an AEW coach or a member of the medical staff. Now, this list includes... Now, this is the loose that needs approval. Spots and bumps on the ring apron or outside. Obvious. Table, ladder, chair spots in and out of ring. Only allowed with padding. I think blood and guts might be definitely something that we might want to think about. And Pac and Kota Ibushi in that bitch? Yeah, I'm happy. Any elevated spots outside the barricades. Dives and ladder spots on stage, around the arena, and other places outside the ring. That's pretty much, you know, common sense. All pile driver and tombstone variations, including sit down drivers, inverted poison hurricane ranas, and vertebrakers. I have seen a few of those in my day, and them joints can actually look like they fuck your neck up. High risk dives or top rope moves. Now they're saying 450, 630, double moon. Who the fuck is pulling a double moonsault? Let me know who's pulling double moonsaults in professional wrestling nowadays. I don't know anybody who's pulling double moonsaults. Short shooting star press, etc. Intentional bleeding, of any sort, not just blading. Okay, I get that. Throwing people into, through, over ring steps, commentary table, bell table, or guardrails and barricades. That one's pretty common. That makes sense. Oh, shit. Some of these I laugh at because it's just like, it's common sense. I get it. But it's just like, also, you could fuck somebody up with that. Chairs, pipes, kendo sticks, hammers. Ring belts, bats, change, etc. Title belts. Yeah, hit a person the wrong way. Yeah. Thumbtacks, skewers, barbed wire, and other sharp slash puncturing objects or powders, aerosol sprays, or liquids. Totally understand that. Throwing any weapons or objects, chair. Okay, yeah, we don't want to do the Sabu spots. Because that man was notorious for throwing a chair at your forehead. If you watched old ECW, if you know, you know. Choking or strangling with hands or a weapon or hanging spots. We might have needed that when Daniel Bryan, never mind. Daniel Bryan, Justin Roberts, choking spot. Look it up. Watch for yourself and you'll understand what I'm talking about. Injury spots or angles, whether or not medical is involved, called to the ring. Get that. Any physicality in the crowd or crowd brawling makes sense. Any physicality involving referees, managers, extra celebrities, or special guests. Totally get that. Now, most talent staff has heard from regarding the document, believe it was necessary, and will help the company tighten the screws in the weeks ahead. That's a win. I like these. I like a lot of these. Because it's two simple words, common sense. I think it's actually pretty cool with the fact that you need the approval of that either a member of the AEW squadron or the medical team. That's smart. That is about as smart as you can get. Tightening the screws, getting everything right. It just makes sense. I appreciate that. Because the last thing you want is a spot that is done without the approval. And then there's going to be a lot of heat on you backstage. So mitigate that. Let's make sure we'll go over stuff. You know, especially like the Caesar spots. I'm not the biggest fans of those. I'm really not. It kind of is, you know, kind of cringe. That's cringy. If there's one thing that's cringy, that'll take from Disco Inferno. That's been cringy to me. Not because of the spot is crazy, but because of the fact that it's just like, there's kids in the audience and they might freak the fuck out. Just saying. But I think with the AEW actually doing this and the roster actually being fully behind it, I think it'll give them a lot more chances to actually be able to do something. But being like, you know what? Hey, let's make sure we can actually pull this off and it's actually okay. Because you don't want to do anything crazy. Like buckle bombs, I get that. Buckle bomb is the reason that Finn Balor was out for a while after winning the Universal Championship. Same kind of thing. So I can understand that from that perspective. But you know, as long as they're doing this the right way, I mean, this is a huge way of doing it the right way. It's a huge way of doing it the right way. And as long as the AEW is doing it the right way, hey, you're not going to hear any blowback, pushback, or any nonsense from yours truly about how they go about their matches, their creative and all else, you know, that goes into what putting a match together looks like. So, hey, more power to them. Let's see. I'm happy for them. I'm happy that the fact that they're really thinking about their safety and that the roster is fully behind it. That's the key. If the roster's behind it, they're behind AEW. Wins all around. That's going to conclude the opening contest segment of episode 370 of the YLP podcast. When we come back, we're going to talk about Seth Rollins saying it rubbed me the wrong way when NXT talent didn't want to join the main roster. It's not as much of a dig as you think. I promise. I've read this article. I could be wrong, but I did read this article prior to. I don't usually, but I had to make sure that, you know, it wasn't what I thought it was. And also, we finally get to hear about Trinity Fatu and the WWE exit. We finally get to hear from Trinity because I don't think I've heard anything from Trinity from what happened that particular night last year. But she says, quote, nobody understands the magnitude of what happened. We'll get into that on the other side of episode 370 of the YLP podcast. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
How's it going, everybody? This is King Ricky Rose, general manager here at Wrestle Addict Radio and host of Kings of the Rings podcast, a show where we look at the biggest topics in the pro wrestling world, from WWE, AEW, and everywhere in between, with my co-host Willie T, as well as Kayfabe, formerly known as The K Murphy. And from time to time, we'll have a special guest from the wrestling podcast world. So make sure to check us out each and every Wednesday night at 8 p.m. for our live streaming show on Twitter, Twitch, and YouTube, with the premiere of the actual episode on all podcast streaming platforms the next day on Thursday. So Kings of the Rings podcast exclusively here on Wrestle Addict Radio, the cure for the common wrestling podcast. And be sure to follow us everywhere on social media at KOTR_podcast.
What is going on, folks? This is Mr. Fretz from the Fretzomania podcast, and you are listening to the Stephen A. Smith of Wrestle Addict Radio, Zach of the Young Lions Perspective. And unlike Stephen A., I'm here to tell you that we care.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, we are back with episode 370 of the YLP podcast. Before I get back into the news of the week, of course, y'all know what time it is. Shameless plug time with your boy. I don't know why I felt good to actually do that, but we're doing it anyway. Anywho, of course, the shameless plug being shouting out the entire roster that is Wrestle Addict Radio, because it's not just me. It's more than just me. I promise you, it's more than just your boy. Tuesdays, make sure you check out the Brace for Impact podcast. Y'all, listen, just because he is the current reigning and defending our MCW heavyweight champion of the world, I don't care if they don't, if they use it or not, he's a champion in our hearts. But Nate the effing Great, shout out to him one time, because if you are a big fan of the old school NWA TNA Impact days, this is your show. I actually, you know, watched a little bit of, funny enough, I watched a little bit of Impact Wrestling a few days ago, and checking out old school TNA episodes when they actually were Wednesday nights. Actually, you know what, I'll tell a little bit of story. After I do the shameless plug, I'll tell a little bit of a story before we get into the news, promise. But if that's your bag, if that is your niche, if that is your thing that you enjoy, Nate's got you every single Tuesday on the Brace for Impact podcast, Wednesdays. If you got nothing else to do around 8 p.m. on a Wednesday night, my suggestion, check out the Kings of the Rings podcast over on YouTube, Twitch, and Twitter. They go live every single Wednesday night, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific, if you're in the mountain area like I am, 6 p.m. Standard Time. I'm not telling you what part, but you kind of know. But yeah, they talk, you know, of course, the pro wrestling, you know, pop culture, cracking jokes. I may crack a joke. I may go on. I do on there. You know, I check it out once in a while. You know, I don't watch it every week. Sorry. But yeah, I, you know, the last time I was on there, you know, we cracked a joke about Wu-Tang Financial. And I thought that was quite hilarious. But still, make sure you check them out every single Wednesday night. Of course, with our esteemed general manager, King Ricky Rose, Will Tereshook, aka Willie T. And of course, the legend that is K. Motherfucking Murphy. That's how you say it. I don't care. Okay, if you actually hear this, shout out to you. You're a legend for sure. But yes, that is every Wednesday. And if you do not catch the live episode, it's still on YouTube. You can check it out. But if you want to check it out on Twitter and on Twitch, it is at KOTR_podcast. That's both for Twitter and for Twitch. If you don't catch the live version of the episode, which I suggest you do, but if you can't, it'll still be on YouTube and you can catch it, the audio version, every single Thursday. Once we get to Friday, start your weekend off right as we head to the north to my brother, the man that has been killing it on the Traeger ever since he bought that thing. And I'm just like, man, when you gonna bring that to me? Just send it. Send some brisket over to me. Fretz, I'm gonna say it every week. I'm gonna try to manifest this, dude. I know it's like, you know, for the show bit, it's still a bit, but still, I'm trying to manifest this. But yes, the man that has a hell of a Traeger and can cook one hell of a brisket and some ribs. If you are a fan of the Ruthless Aggression era, this is your bag. I believe this, I saw Zach Gowen and Stephanie McMahon on the cover art there, so I'm very interested to see. I haven't checked it out yet, but I'm very interested to see what this one is all about. Zach Gowen, anything in the Ruthless Aggression area was a vibe. And if you didn't understand the vibe, you didn't pass the vibe check. But yes, you can check that out every single Friday to kick off your weekend with the Fretzelmania podcast. Hopefully I actually said that beforehand. But then you get to me. Saturday, continuing your weekend in proper YLP fashion with the YLP podcast, because it is Wrestle Addict Radio, the cure for the common wrestling podcast. Let's have a little story time real quick with yours truly before So, NWA TNA, back in the day, I was what? This came out in middle school, so we're talking about 2000, 2001, 01, 02, around there, when I got into it personally. This was when they were still doing the Wednesday pay-per-views for the wonderful low price of, I believe, $3.99. Either $3.99 or $4.99, I wasn't sure which, but I was checking it out. I was checking out their Friday show, Impact, when Impact was Fridays, and it was an hour long. And I actually, you know, it was a great thing because I actually got home from school over like literally minutes before it kicked off. So what I would do is I would, before I turned off my TV, because I watched TV in the morning before I went to school and got, you know, all that good stuff, weather, things, all that. I left it on Fox Sports 1 and then got home, turned it on, already Impact. So I checked that out and they were just like, yeah, Wednesday pay-per-views. $3.99, $4.99. I'm thinking, I need to check out a pay-per-view. I think the match in particular was a six-way dance for the X Division Championship. Hello. There you go. Good boy. Missing, letting Milo, a.k.a. Mr. YLP Jr., out from his nap. But, so, when I was thinking about watching it, I was like, I gotta go ask my mom because, you know, I didn't have the means, you know, I didn't have no debit card. And, you know, if you tell your mom you wanted to watch TNA, you might have to literally clarify exactly what you're talking about. So you know what I mean. So I went up to, you know, asked her if I could watch the pay-per-view. And she was like, what? No, I didn't watch no porn on my, like, no, it's. And I literally explained it. It's total nonstop action. It's professional wrestling. It's not no porn or anything like that. I had to put a pitch together. I had to really show my ass, which is why I'm kind of decent at, you know, kind of figuring out professional wrestling. So there you go. And she was like, okay. Apologize. Said, yeah, I get it. You owe me $5. Deal. I got allowance then, so just cut $5 from the $20 I was getting, and we'll call it a day. So yeah, that's how I figured out. And I checked out the pay-per-view itself, and the pay-per-view was actually damn good. I think it was a six-way for the X Division Championship, and I think that's what, like, AJ Styles was like. They were really like having like AJ be the flag bearer of the X Division, like before, you know, the wonderful triple threat feud that was Joe, Christopher Daniels, and AJ Styles. So yeah, but yeah, that's my story with that, with how I was able to watch an NWA TNA pay-per-view. I usually don't tell stories on here when it comes to wrestling, but don't bring up the time I had watched Rey Mysterio. We're pretty much kind of like shied away from wrestling in high school. Well, that's a later time when I'm actually, because that's a whole thing. And yeah, anywho, let us get back into the news. That's what you're here for. As we head over to Fightful.com, Seth Rollins saying, it rubbed me the wrong way when NXT talent didn't want to join the main roster. Like I said before, I preface this, I don't think it's bad as he says it is. I haven't, you know, read it in the past couple of days, so, you know, fresh mind, we'll figure it out. But this is actually from Jeremy Lambert. Take a sip of water, actually, before I get my groove on with this. I will say one thing. I don't mean to kind of, you know, start stopping everything, but if you're a solo podcaster, make sure you have water handy. If you're thinking about doing it, make sure you got a good amount of water handy and ready to go, because you talk a lot. But let's get into the article from Jeremy Lambert. Seth Rollins returned to NXT, to the NXT ring on the June 20th episode of NXT, defending the WWE World Heavyweight Championship against Bron Breakker. I still haven't seen that match, but I've heard it was good. It was his first NXT bout since 2013. Of course, Rollins was the first ever NXT champion, winning the title in 2012 by defeating Jinder Mahal in the finals, which still boggles my mind that Jinder Mahal was damn near the first NXT champion. But hey, I digress. Speaking to Ryan Satin on Out of Character, Rollins reflected on his NXT return, saying, quote, "It was very cool for me to go back and have that moment. One of the things I talk about is helping the younger talent and pushing the industry forward. The opportunity was presented to me to go down to NXT, and I haven't wrestled a match on the show in over 10 years. Obviously, it moved from Full Sail to the Performance Center, and the look, the feel, and the vibe was totally different, and it had gone through so many different iterations over the years, but it's still NXT. I cut a little promo after the show, and it didn't really dawn on me that I would that it would feel sentimental until after, when I got out there and I felt the audience and I felt the connection. I hadn't wrestled in front of a crowd that small and intimate in a very long time," which is like a hell of a point. Like NXT, like, especially when it was in like heyday, it was very intimate and it felt intimate. There's something special about wrestling in front of an intimate crowd like that in a small space. You'll see big bands do that. Go back to these small bars and pack them out. There's something about that where you get a different experience as opposed to doing it in an arena or stadium. It's a lot more personal. It really hit me when I went out there, and you can really interact with any person in any seat. It was an awesome experience. He goes on to say, "Braun was a hell of an opponent. I was really happy to get down there and get in the ring with him and chit-chat with the other guys and girls and see what they are experiencing on a day-to-day basis. It was cool. It felt a lot of hunger to get to the next level. I was happy to see that. We were going through a period with NXT where there was a lot of complacency and people were talking about, I'd rather stay in NXT. I don't want to go to the main roster. That always rubbed me the wrong way. When I went down there this past time, I felt a different energy, and I felt people were excited to come to the main roster and take their careers to the next level. That got me hyped. Of course, he was victorious over Breakker in the singles bout when he defended the championship. Elsewhere in the interview, Rollins, of course, discussed the World Heavyweight Championship not being a consolation prize, but we ain't talking about that right now. As I said, it wasn't as bad. Like, I mean, I get it, you know, in terms of, you know, clickbait. That was a great, it's a great way to actually, you know, formulate the article. It's going to get you wanting to read that. But, you know, there was a period. Like, the, well, what he's talking about is basically like 2015, 2018, if I'm not mistaken, or something of that. Like that era, the black and the true heart and soul, like when black and gold was just the shit. It was just everything. Every WWE network, every single fucking... That's what he was talking about. That period. And it was also at the same time where NXT talent were going up to the main roster and they were just getting destroyed in terms of creative. I still believe it's out of pettiness from Vince McMahon. Because for a solid, like... I still say solid two to close to a 2.5 year stretch where every big four weekend... NXT was just destroying them. This was when NXT was Saturday and WWE was still doing Sunday shows. Sunday pay-per-view, PLEs. I don't know, man. Just, you know what I'm talking about. And that's when NXT was just that. It was that show you had to watch. Because Raw and SmackDown were kind of, you know, dookie a little bit. They were acting goofy. Bunch of goofy shit going on at around that time. But NXT was still that thing. NXT basically was my vibe. NXT is the reason I still love professional wrestling. Granted, New Japan Pro Wrestling is the reason I came back to professional wrestling in the first place. But when I got privy to NXT during that time, it was a vibe, man. And to see Seth go down, you know, and I can understand Seth saying, you know, it rubbed them the wrong way. Of course. You know, it's like, why would you want to come to the main roster? But knowing that when it came to around that time, the talent, like as fans, as a fan of NXT, and I'm sure many of you out there as well, always had that dread of like, so-and-so is getting called up, big concern they're going to get destroyed. I still think it was that period of time when Triple H was pretty much serving Vince McMahon his ass on a silver platter, because every time they did a show on a big four weekend, you know what I mean? It was just different. From top to bottom, the card was good. The booking was good leading up to the show itself. The talent were putting their everything into it. You could feel that. Promos, matches, like they were giving their everything. Even if you were at the lower mid card, you were still trying to put your, you know, get you to work in. Because it was all for a simple cause. It was all for the, you know, for that black and gold. Triple H running that, his squad down there doing things. I believe Ryan Ward was still down there at the time. Mwah. I think, believe up until 2016, Mans was actually, you know, writing for SmackDown. And up until that point, and then they snagged Ryan Ward with good reason, because that made SmackDown the real A show around late 2016. If you know, you know. Draft. Got your hint. But the thing is, that's why no one wanted to go to the main roster. And if you were already on the main roster, why wouldn't you want to come up? I get that point. But now that he came down there and he actually got to see that energy, he felt that energy. The people were excited to come to the main roster now. Because Triple H is doing creative and Vince McMahon's being a dick. But you didn't hear that from me. He got hype. He felt that. Because it was you gotta think, Mans has been on the roster, main roster for like what? He's been up there for a minute. He's been up there for a little while. So to go back down there and actually compete on the show, feel that energy. Hey, man, you can't go wrong with that. And you can feel that difference. And like you said about the big bands going back to small bars and packing them out. You know what I'm saying? And being able to go back down. And also it kind of gives you that reminder of just like where I started in NXT and seeing what NXT is now. I think they're in good hands. I think, and I hope, and honestly, I think that gave Seth a little bit more pep in his step, knowing that, you know, when he was in NXT to where it is now, I'm sure he felt some type of way about that in a very positive manner. Of course, I think that would be a little thing, you know what I'm saying? But hey, fantastic. I mean, I'm glad he went down there. I'm glad he actually got to do that. And I'm actually, they just have the draft, so they're bringing talent down there. But it's like, see, for someone like Seth Rollins to go down there, they're not, I mean, yeah, they're doing it for ratings, but still, it's freaking Seth Rollins going to NXT and competing for the title on the line. Lovely things. I mean, like I said, I haven't seen the Braun Breaker Rollins match, but that is something I will get to in due time. But let us get to this article I've been wanting to read all week. Well, since I basically found it, but let's just go with all week. Anywho, as we head over to F4WOnline.com, Trinity. Fix my pop filter over here. Jeez. Because I don't talk into the mic now. I just hold it. I hold like the legs and then I just talk. So I just don't want to dink anything. But anywho, Trinity on WWE exit saying, quote, "Nobody understands the magnitude of what happened." Now, she spoke with the Post ahead of course Slammiversary going down. Trinity opened up about her friendship with Mercedes Moné and exit from WWE in a new interview. The 35-year-old spoke to the New York Post ahead of her Knockouts title match at Slammiversary on Saturday. During the interview, she talked about the day she and Moné walked out on WWE and left a Raw taping on May 16th, 2022. I forgot that was actually a tape show. Nonetheless, saying, quote, "There was a lot that happened. There was a lot that was said that ultimately led to me being put in a position and feeling like that was the best for me and what I needed to do. I still believe that. I still stand on that, and that's just what it is." She goes on to say, quote, "I just hope that through all the drama and the rumors and the messiness, that the one thing people do know about us is how much we care about women's wrestling." End quote. Trinity continued to say that that it felt like she and Moné only had each other during that time, saying, quote, "Me and her, we just had each other, it felt like. Other than Tamina, Bailey checking in on us regularly, that was it. We just had each other going through that. Nobody understands the magnitude of what happened and what really went on and why we feel the way we feel and where we are. But me and her and the people that were involved that day, it just goes to show that how real our friendship is and how real all of this is. End quote. Since the pair left WWE, Monet has continued her wrestling career in NJPW and Stardom, while Trinity signed with Impact Wrestling. They've both traveled to watch the other perform, but have not worked with each other in the ring since they were the WWE Women's Tag Team Champions. However, Trinity said she'd love to work with Monet again sometime down the road, saying, quote, "I wouldn't want to do it with anyone else other than her, whatever that is. I'll always do what's best for her, what's best for me, and what's best for the business. And if it's something that comes up that makes sense for the both of us, hell yeah. Hell yeah." The Impact tapings this weekend will be Trinity's fifth with the company, debuting in April when the promotion was in Chicago. In May, she wrestled twice during a set of Impact TV tapings in Linden, Ontario, Canada. She took part in Impact's tapings from Columbus, Ohio on June 9th and 10th as well, and also drove to Atlanta for a show from Center Stage on June 24th. She's undefeated with the promotion thus far with a 4-0 record in singles matches and a 2-0 record in tag matches. Very nice. Very nice. Now, for those of you who may not know or may have forgotten, I will do my best to try to, not necessarily to revitalize the story, but remember as best as I can what happened. Monet and Trinity were, you know, going to Raw. They were getting ready to go over the creative, all that good stuff for the night. They found out in terms of, you know, the championship contender matches, that one was going to pin the other in the match. I believe it was Trinity that was supposed to pin Mercedes. And then Naomi would face Bianca Belair at the next pay-per-view, where she would lose. And then Mercedes was then going to go on to face Ronda Rousey for the SmackDown Women's Championship at said pay-per-view and also lose. Both of them were like, nah, not doing that. I know it was a six-pack challenge for the, like, it was either a gauntlet or a six-pack challenge to determine who was going to get the shot at Bianca for the Raw Women's title. I'm trying to think of what was that WrestleMania? Yeah, WrestleMania. Was it WrestleMania going into WrestleMania Backlash or was it after? I think it was going into Juice Paper. I can't remember. But that was supposed to be the booking, as far as if my mind serves me right. My mind serves me correct, actually, I should say. That was the booking for both of them. And both of them were just like, no. Left the belts there and peaced out. Now, we talked about, I believe either last week or the week before, about Jay's side of things. And it's actually good to actually see the finally hear Trinity side. I didn't hear anything prior to this. So hearing her, you know, her point of view and seeing where she comes from. I mean, granted, you know, she's been doing some things in Impact. So she's had a lot of time to think about some things. But like I said, I'm very happy about the fact that Trinity's doing well for herself. That's the one thing I'm really happy about. She's doing well for herself. Going to be facing, you know, Deonna Purrazzo for the Impact Women's Knockouts Championship. Will she win? Hope so. That'd be nice. And if that goes that way, I'm sure Deonna wouldn't mind doing the thing for her. Like I said, we'll see how it goes with that. Good luck to both of them in terms of the match itself. But knowing, you know, that it was like getting kind of like seeing, being able to see that side and hear their point of view, which is like knowing that it was just them two and, you know, it was just them and they felt like it was them. Besides, you know, Tamina and Bayley, they had each other. And that's always the best thing you would want. That's a win in and of itself. And knowing that, you know, hopefully somewhere down the line they are able to work together in some capacity, hey, you can't go wrong with that either. It's something appreciated. Because those two actually, like, were a hell of a tag team. And WWE just didn't want to book the division. They still don't, personally, in my opinion. That's just me. It's It's one of those like situations where like you know that they like what they need to be doing is elevating the tag women's tag team division, and for some reason when you think they get to that point, they just don't. It's happened a couple times in the history of the women's tag team division, and it's just I'm trying to actually, you know, give it that love, but it's just like they're just doing it wrong. If you let me do it, I got you. And Raquel Rodriguez and Liv Morgan would not be women's tag team champions as we speak right now. It's only because the hard out in Ronda's contract. Understandable. Just the woman. But anyway, getting back into Trinity real quick. To know that she's doing well for herself and having to deal with all that, all the speculation, all the news that came out about it, people were, you know, talking shit, whatever. When it comes to that, you're gonna, I mean, having Sasha ride with you, I mean, Mercedes, my bad. Having a friend with you, going through those things, going, you know, getting booked like dog shit, because that was, I mean, that was crap booking that they were going to do for Mercedes and Trinity. Like, you're basically pinning your homegirl, your tag partner, to get a shot at Bianca's title, knowing that you're going to lose, and then your tag partner is going to face the other branch tag team champion, because I guess with women's tag rules, you can go from show to show. Not bad. Now it's all three. That's a good start, but I need a better division. Nonetheless, Mercedes would then face Ronda Rousey and also lose. So not only would you be discrediting each other, the both of them, in terms of one pinning the other, you would then discredit your tag team champions and having them lose? Know what I'm saying? So I'm really glad that Trinity is in a very, very good space. And, you know, she's doing well for herself. She's fighting for the Knockouts Championship at Slammiversary. Can't go wrong with that. Undefeated in action thus far. Can't go wrong. We'll see how she does against Deonna. But I'm really, really, I mean, if, and I hope sooner rather than later, we get to see a little something with Trinity and Mercedes Moné. Whether it be women's tag team, going after the women's tag team championships on Impact, the Knockouts tag team titles on Impact. You can do that. That's a thing. I just read something today. I think, you know, well, actually read something this week, I should say, because you're listening to the show, Saturday show this week about, you know, when with Moné coming back after her injury, possibility of facing Julia. And possibly with the Strong Women's Championship on the line. And shout out to Julia for winning the Strong Women's Championship against Willow Nightingale. I believe it was in Japan. She won the championship. So she's the current NJPW champion right now. And I know a lot of people were talking about, you know, they felt bad for Willow because, you know, they're saying, you know, they booked her transitional champion, all that stuff. Like, it was like, well, if you really know, Moné was supposed to be the first NJPW women's champion. The only reason that she didn't is because she got injured during the match and they had to change the matchup on the fly. So Willow gets the distinction of being the inaugural champion. But all roads were always going to lead to Mercedes getting that title. So how do you pull that off? Then you have a talent like Julia, who was a hell of a talent over in Japan, put that together, you know, pretty much a thank you run, you know, and thank you for your service as, you know, riding with us while Moné gets better, which is not a bad thing. It's not a bad thing. She gets that distinction as the inaugural Strong, NJPW Strong Women's Champion forever. And honestly, I'm a fan of Willow. So hell yeah. Either way, couldn't lose. Whoever won that, yeah. You were just fine. Julia champion now sets up a big money match. Her and Moné is going to be crazy. And you know they're going to make it big. Especially if they do it over in Japan, which would be the smart move. Just saying. Cork and all. Let's do it over there. Yeah. Cork and all. I'm telling you. You know, the possibilities for Monet and Trinity to work together again somewhere down the road is going to be great. You know, and right now, they're doing their own thing. They're both in their own bags. They're both getting the bag. No one loses, and it's always, and sometimes it's good to bet on yourself. That's the moral of the story. They were just like, middle finger to them. They wanted their release. They got released, and they're doing quite well for themselves. So sometimes you just got to do you. That's going to conclude our mid-card segment for episode 370 of the Wild Pea Podcast. And when we come back, main event all time. I love main event. Not the TV show. God, not main event. WWE version. That show sucks. But no, main event segment. Warner Brothers Discovery pitching an expanded AEW pay-per-view schedule. We got the big four, but apparently they want a little bit more. We'll discuss that in the main event segment of episode 370 of the YLP podcast. Stay right there. Be right back. All right, ladies and gentlemen, it is time for the main event segment. Episode 370 of the YLP podcast. Main event time. And Mr. YLP Jr., what? What is it? You gonna lay down? You can lay down, it's okay. Oh, big stretch. Big stretch for the light. Yes, big stretch. Okay. All right. You can have out. It's okay. There you go. You're good. And that was our second appearance from Mr. YOP Jr. Anyway, let's get into the main event segment of this week's episode of the YLP podcast as we head over to technically Yahoo Entertainment via WrestleZone.com and the report of Warner Brothers. Jeez, need more water. I'm telling you, if you live in the altitude that I live in, you need water. Mm-hmm. There we go. Let's try this one again, shall we? From Yahoo.com/entertainment via WrestleZone.com. Report, Warner Brothers Discovery pitched expanding the AEW pay-per-view schedule. From Colin Tessier. All Elite Wrestling could potentially add more pay-per-views to its schedule in the future. AEW initially held Revolution, Double or Nothing, All Out, and Full Gear as their yearly pay-per-views. They already started to add to their pay-per-view schedule. Forbidden Door joined the schedule in 2022, and the company is set to hold AEW All In London at Wembley Stadium in August. It's going to be lovely. Sean Rassap of Fightful Select reports that the Warner Brothers Discovery sources confirmed that they propose significantly expanding AEW's pay-per-view schedule, with a very likely possibility that the lineup will extend potentially to one event per month. Sapp wrote that Warner Brothers Discovery has wanted this outcome, and now it has been discussed. In the report, Sapp wrote that it's unclear whether these events would be standalone pay-per-views or if they would be part of a potential Max streaming deal. Per Sapp, nothing has been finalized, and it could change, but the two sides have discussed the schedule. In another report, Sapp stated that AEW and Warner Brothers Discovery have been in talks for months regarding the extension of the television rights deal. I was about to say TV, but it had T. Television rights deal. Sources believe that an announcement of a deal could be made this summer or fall. Per Sapp, WBD sources have been very happy with AEW, particularly with the company's flexibility when it comes to content and dealing with preemptions. Always a win. Sapp wrote that the broadcast of an AEW All In has been discussed as part of these talks, and a WBD source noted that the deal would be a huge money increase for AEW, at least based on the way things look right now. I'm feeling good and bad about it. I don't know why. Because for most of you that I don't know or don't listen to this podcast as often, I usually don't read these ahead of time. Some I will to kind of get a better context of the article itself, just in case, you know, the headline sounds a bit clickbaity. I do it for y'all. I promise that I do. Honestly, 100%. But when I think, when I see this, when I think about the Warner Brothers Discovery deal wanting to do one per month, I get why they're doing it. But I think, I mean, they've been in talks about it, and Tony Khan is kind of like being receptive to it, then I can understand that, and I'm not going to hate on it as much. But my thing is that I think it's a solid model for AEW because of the fact that the best thing a company can do, and I think NXT did this too, because NXT back in the day used to build to their takeovers every 3 months. So every quarter, it was the same thing. That's what kind of AEW does, pretty much AEW does. They have their big four. It's what WWE used to do before they decided, oh, let's get money. I mean, I get it. It makes money. I get it. But I think that's what, honestly, that's what the AEW is about. Like, that's what kind of like differentiates for WWE and AEW is that, for WWE and AEW, is that, excuse me, they basically differentiate in that manner, where WWE has a pay-per-view every single month, AEW has four per year, and they're having little side shows, which kind of like what NXT kind of does now. It's a good model for AEW, and I don't like the fact that, you know, Warner Brothers Discovery is doing it. I get it. It's very lucrative. It's very, very lucrative. It just, I want to make sure, and I hope, and I'm sure AEW will do right by us, the fans, of course, that, you know, being able to, you know, still have those shows feel big. Because now they're, I think this is going to be six this year with Forbidden Door 2 and then All In London. So that'll be six for them, six big shows. I'm not sure. I mean, if they go just like at least 6 to 9 pay-per-views a year, that I think is a good spot. Especially if you're going to do Forbidden Door and All In London, I wouldn't necessarily do them back-to-back months because basically this is going to be the most, this is the wild, we're in the middle of the wild summer right now, which they had what? Forbidden Door. Now they're going to have London and then they're going to go right into All Out the week after. That's wild. That's crazy. Forbidden Door is in June. I'm sorry. That was Double or Nothing for AEW and then Forbidden Door in June. And now we're getting prepared for All In. Still wild. It's crazy. It's crazy out here in these streets. It'll work out. I mean, I'm just really hoping they don't really do one a month. I think in terms of like with Dynamite and Collision happening now, I think 6 to 8, if they want to extend it, is about as far as at least I can accept it. If you're going to one show a month, then your programming on Dynamite has to be Dynamite at that point. Dynamite and Collision building up to these shows. So I'm kind of curious. It makes me curious. You know, four was where they were just doing it. Now, the thing that I think that would make sense if they make it, you know, like, because they're saying in the report, it's unclear whether it be standalone or part of the Max streaming deal. Now, the schedule being discussed, I mean, but here's the big thing that I think I can appreciate is that they've been in talks for months, you know, calling it for an extension of the television rights deal. That's big. Because I'm sure there were a ton of people who were talking shit about AEW not getting the deal, but AEW always had the goods to be able to not only lock in a proper deal, but to get an even bigger deal. And now they're saying, you know, the announcement of the deal could be made, you know, either this summer or in the fall. And the fact that the source, you know, they're happy with AEW, everything is all honky-dory. Especially, like they're saying, companies' flexibility when it comes to content and dealing with preemptions. I mean, if you're cool with them, they're cool with you. You know what I'm saying? Doing well. And that's the biggest, I think that's the big thing, especially what they're saying, the deal could be a huge money increase for AEW. That means they can do a lot more things. So, looking at it from that point of view, I can see why Warner Brothers Discovery would want to expand the schedule. Knowing now what they know with AEW, the AEW's like, what they got going on, that they see now, like, yes, this can be a deal that we can actually properly make and give them the deal they deserve. And since it's going to be a huge money increase for AEW, that could possibly mean, you know, better, possibly bigger salaries for talent. You're looking at, you know, the referees, like pretty much everyone around, you know. You can do a lot more with, the, you know, doing shows on the road, having more house shows, something of that nature. Beginning to expand. If they're doing it from that point of view, I can understand why then they would want to do more pay-per-views. Of course, me, I'm a little stubborn sometimes and don't understand it. Sometimes change is actually very good. But AEW has proven their worth to Warner Brothers Discovery. That's the key. That's the big thing. You know, getting that extension is huge for Tony Khan. And they're saying, you know, Warner Brothers Discovery is basically saying, yeah, we stand behind what you got. I mean, we got you on TNT, but whatever. Like, we want to make sure that this continues. If this is what we're going to be getting in terms of ratings, in terms of revenue, in terms of everything like that, we want to rock behind you. I'm very happy about that. It's something about the fact that when you know, given the fact that, you know, AEW has really had to fight for everything. Like, seriously, AEW has been definitely trying their damnedest to ensure that it's definitely one of those things where you want to see them succeed. I've wanted to see AEW succeed since day one. Since they were being called nothing more than a t-shirt company. And having Double or Nothing be awesome. And having All In just be great. And cemented them as a company to look out for going forward. And to see them now going from this quote-unquote t-shirt company to getting a huge, what will possibly be a very huge increase in dough for AEW, it shows that AEW is doing something right. AEW is doing something that people enjoy, although it's not always the best. But with what they got going on, with, you know, working with NJPW every single year for, you know, Forbidden Door and putting on bangers, this is kind of what you want. That's the best outcome you would want to see for AEW. I mean, knowing that nothing has been finalized yet and they're still trying to kind of discuss things and discussing the schedule. The way I would do it in terms of pay-per-view schedule, if I had to conjure it up in my head, I would do Revolution, of course, in February. You give me trying to think. Keep the four, because you're already at four. Keep those four. Forbidden Door will be part of the schedule. All In, see, that's the one that I'm kind of like, on, because I think they're doing All In to make, because it's freaking London. I would do that as like a huge, like crazy one-off. Not every year, maybe an alternate year if we wanted to go somewhere, you know, international with it. All In Mexico City, let's do that. All In Toronto, you know, like something of that nature. You don't have to do it every year, but, you know, at least a couple times over the next few years. You know, if you want to do it every 2 years, you know, like alternate, something like that. I don't know. Figure it out. But like I said, I would keep the four. Forbidden Door would definitely be part of the pay-per-view schedule easily, because that's just NJPW, AEW goodness. And you can't go wrong with NJPW, AEW goodness. Just saying. I don't know what you would do for a sixth. Because I think if you want to do it six, you know, if you got four, I would say another two might not be that bad. I'm trying to figure out how you would get to like seven, eight, like, because if you're talking every single month, you got to have names for everything. So if you can't do like Blood and Guts as a pay-per-view, I wouldn't do Blood and Guts as a pay-per-view. Can't do it. You would really have to kind of like push for, you know, if you wanted to do Fight for the Fallen as an actual standalone pay-per-view, possibly. You know, if you wanted to do AEW Grand Slam, but even then, that's still like a one-off. So it's honestly just a matter of how AEW and Warner Brothers Discovery are going to be able to expand this. That's the key. Because I don't know how you're going to do one event per month. I would say, like, you know, don't go too crazy. Don't just like go from four to now every month being a pay-per-view. You know what I'm saying? I would say get to somewhere to six to eight. I think that's your range. Because you still got to build to these. I think that's why the reason I actually mess with AEW, because you can go from, you know, Dynamite After Revolution to, you know, Double or Nothing there until All Out. The Dynamite After All Out till Full Gear and so on and so forth. That cycle is very, very nice. You get to build to shows. If you wanted to do, you know, like a beach bash or something like that in the middle of it, by all means you can do that, but I wouldn't make them standalone pay-per-views. That's the thing. Cause then you got to actually come, you gotta make sure you get the rights for names. If you want to have certain names, all that stuff. I'm just saying, if you're able to get bash at the beach, you got a chance. I'm just saying, but remember WWE owns WCW. So you kind of screwed in that department. So you might be fucked, but I just don't see a standalone pay-per-view every single month right now. Six to nine. I'll go as far as that. Six to eight. I think that's where your sweet spot is. If you want to go pay-per-views, big four, and then, you know, you can even do the Owen Hart find out if you want to do, you know, with the foundation tournament, see if you want to make that into a thing. Possibilities there. It'll just be kind of interesting to see how they will build and how they're going to be able to actually do. I would say the progression of getting to one pay-per-view a month is the ideal goal. We'll see what happens. I just don't want it to be too much too soon. Because we're in year what? Year four of AEW? So, again, I don't want it to be too much too soon. Yeah, the money's going to be there. The money is exactly going to be there as much as you want. But it's just, you know, positively progressing towards getting to that one event per month, I think is where you want to go. That's your end goal. I would say add another two to four and let's see where we're at. And then if we know it's still good, then you can go up to your, you know, one a month. Right now, six to eight, I think would be a perfect spot for them. You don't got to go too, it's still enough that you can build to creatively and not go buck wild, but it's not, you know, it's still, you know, you're still building to your things. We'll see what happens though. Anything that changes, of course, y'all know, I will give y'all the news about all of that. But that's going to conclude... Words are hard nowadays. That's going to conclude episode 370 of the YLP podcast. When we come back, we'll close out the show, as we always do, in proper YLP fashion, and get you ready for the five-year anniversary of the YLP podcast. Be right back. Well, guys, that's going to be it for episode 370 of the YLP podcast. As always, I want to thank you guys so much for taking time out of your day, your night, your afternoon, and your evening, wherever you may be, wherever you are in the world. Thank you guys so much for taking out this episode of the podcast. And as always, I greatly and truly appreciate it. Again, if you have any questions, comments, concerns, or opinions about this episode or any of the other 369, nice. Episodes of the YLP podcast, do not hesitate to hit me up with a voice message over at podcasters.spotify.com/youngthelionsperspective/podcasters.spotify.com/WrestleAddictRadio and over on ambiguouspodcastsolutions.com, because shout out to Will Taylor Shook, the founder of APS. All good things with that. Also, you can send me an email. Nice little email. Let me know what you think about the show today. Over at younglionsperspective@gmail.com. If you want to stay up to date with everything that's going on with the YLP podcast, and my apologies for not posting as much as of late, that's on me, not on y'all. But you can still find me over on Twitter at YLPerspective and over on Instagram at young_lions_perspective. Follow me over there. Stay up to date with everything. And of course, you can check out this podcast. Of course, ambiguouspodcastsolutions.com, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Stitcher Radio, Spotify, of course, iHeartRadio, and everywhere else you listen to podcasts. Next week is probably, at least over the last couple of years, my favorite show of the year to do, besides, of course, WrestleMania, you know, any particular show I may, a particular pay-per-view, PLE, I may be interested in watching. Royal Rumble, of course. But there's nothing like an anniversary show. And in terms of Wrestle Addict Radio, this will be the third year in a row that we're doing an anniversary show. But overall, this is going to be number 5. My 5th anniversary as a solo podcaster in the game. Again, this is another, you know, this is one, the one thing that I like to do almost every year. It's more like it is going to be news of the week, but it's, you know, we're going to talk about, you know, for those of you who may not know how I got started, where, you know, how, you know, when I just took the leap of faith to go solo, how I became part of Wrestle Addict Radio, because some of y'all may be coming into the late in the game, and how I linked up with Wrestle Addict Radio. So, and it's also been discussed on the Kings of Rings podcast of many moons back, but I figured I'd at least describe the journey of how we are getting to where we are for the 5th anniversary in my own words. So that's going to be what's going down next week, the 5-year anniversary show. Always a good time. And maybe we'll do what we did last year and listen to an old episode of the YLP podcast. Not the first one, maybe in the hundreds or 200s. We'll see how things go. We'll see how everything is. But yeah, that's what's going to be going down. That's what it is. You know, that's all there is, and there isn't any more. So guys, enjoy the rest of your weekend. Have a fantastic week. Do great things. Kick ass. All the good stuff. Do what y'all need to do, and I'll see you guys right back here next Saturday for the 5-year anniversary show of the YLP podcast. See you.
This has been a Wrestle Addict Radio branded podcast.